Welcome to the Playmaker Podcast, a podcast for people who want to sell different. Playmakers wage war against traditional sales and win. Remember, success is just one play away. All right, welcome everybody to the Playmaker Podcast. I'm excited. We got another show. It's a passionate topic about people. Can't forget the people. And to do that, we've got a great guest. It's a real cool company that I've come across called Live Coach. And we've got their founder and CEO, Shimon How do we say your last name?
Lazarov.
That's right. I thought I'd get one, but maybe not the other. Shimon Lazarov. Shimon, thanks so much for joining. How the heck are you?
Thank you, Gabe. It's great to be on the podcast.
Yeah,
you're doing great.
Yeah. Well, I know one of your colleagues reached out to me, and I liked the idea. And I said, you know what? Why don't you jump on the podcast and let's talk about coaching and training, and kind of all the things around that. So we'll be diving into that in just a minute. But can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you guys do over there at Life Coach?
Sure. So, I mean, I come from a Silicon Valley background, have been building marketplaces for different verticals for many years. And when I came across the vertical of coaching, I said, wow, this is a great place to focus on because I think there's huge potential there. So I started a coaching marketplace, and very quickly we became the world's largest coaching marketplace.
Wow. When you say coaching marketplace, maybe just do one double click on that. Meaning, I mean, can I get coached on, I mean, cooking? Can I? Is it just for business professionals around sales? Is it a little bit of everything? Or
so I would say it's a little bit of everything, but we're definitely not focused on learning hobbies. It's more like personal stuff, professional stuff, and relationship stuff. So anything you need help with. We have over 2,000 coaches on the platform, and each of them specializes on something different. We have lots of great sales coaches, but also coaches for any other task, basically.
I love it. That's fascinating. Livecoach.io, and we're going to be talking a little bit about coaching and training. But before we jump into the topic, I always like to put people on the spot outside of work, outside of coaching, anything you're passionate about, stuff, you know, crazy hobbies or fun stuff you guys do, you like to do?
Yeah, I'm a big outdoors person. So anything with the outdoors, whether it's hiking, backpacking, skiing, scuba diving, anything that gets me out there, I love it.
Well, have you been to Utah? Have you been to Utah?
Oh, yeah. I've been there. I love the national parks there.
Well, we might have to get you out. We're having our a pretty cool executive summit that happens March 5th through the 8th. It's kind of a VP and above, a little more of a close-knit group, but it's my one time of the year where I actually get to really ski and I have a good time. For some reason, I get caught up in work and I don't get out as much as I'd like to. But love to hear that you're an outdoors guy. If you're ever in Utah, let me know. Second question for you is kind of just a random one, but is if you ever ran into an aspiring sales leader, someone who says, oh my goodness, you run your own company, you're successful, what's the one tip or advice you'd kind of say, hey, think about this, and it, you know, something quick?
Yeah, I think the main advice that I've taken advantage of is no matter how good you are at something, you can always be better.
Yeah.
So in my personal life, I always try to not get complacent. And whenever I have success in something, I'm like, okay, how can I double down on that?
Yeah.
And I think you can apply this to any area of your life. It can be professionally, it can be with your relationships, just anything.
I love it. Yeah, you don't be complacent, right? I mean, keep going as fast as you can. So let's transition into kind of training and coaching and that sort of good stuff. As you think about, I just want to hear this. You mentioned it a little bit. Is coaching just kind of a passion of yours, or what was the background to kind of starting to get into all this?
Yeah, so I'm very passionate just about development, and I didn't know that this field of coaching even existed. So like 5 years ago, I thought it's pretty much like a scam. It's people who aren't good enough to be therapists or psychiatrists or anything. But then I discovered through some work that my wife and my mother did with different coaches how much of a huge impact coaching can have on life. And what's cool about coaching is that really you don't have to be in a bad spot to get a coach. So you usually go to a therapist if there's something wrong. But with coaching, and you can see like all the professional athletes and professional speakers and many professional people use coaches, but I really have a passion of bringing this to everybody. So not only you don't have to be a top CEO of a Fortune 10 company and working with Tony Robbins to benefit from coaching. And then the more I started diving into the data, I saw how really this industry is really, really backwards compared to other tech Silicon Valley industries. So there was a good opportunity there.
Yeah, maybe not quite as forward thinking. So opportunities was part of it. You feel like everybody needs a coach? I mean, you bring up professional athletes. And it's weird how, I guess Tiger's not great anymore, but even the great Tiger Woods, when he was great, had a coach. You know, obviously you're on a basketball team, the Michael Jordans of the world, they have coaches. But, you know, when it applies to sales and marketing professionals, we don't often think we need a coach. We have a manager, but does everybody need a coach? And if so, why don't we have one?
Yeah, so I don't know about the word need. I think that everybody can benefit from a coach. And the reason why we don't have one, I think just historically, it's been something super, super expensive that you can only afford if you're doing something that's very, very valuable, right? So, of course, if you're a Hollywood actor, you're going to work with an acting coach. But I think in the last 5 or so years, this field has really grown like crazy. And there's actually academic research now done at universities that shows that coaching for employees makes them more productive and happier and reduces churn. So all of these good things come. But I think we're still very early on as an industry. So there's no standards. Anyone can call themselves a coach. And it's really hard to know if someone's good or not. And also, usually you will get a coach through word of mouth. So somebody that you know has worked with them. But that may not be the person that's best to deal with the specific issue that you need help with. So, for example, if you need help with sales and one of your friends says, oh, my God, I went to this amazing coach that helped me lose weight. You know, there's no connection there. So, yeah. I think that's one of the interesting problems that the industry has to solve, which is how to understand which coach is good at what.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like as well that coaching, and I know this is one of the challenges you're kind of trying to overcome, but it's not commonplace. It's a little bit harder. And certainly when I think of a coach or a private coach, you know, I think, that must be so expensive. And then I probably think it's expensive. And then number two, I'm like, where do I even go? And I know that's one, you know, certainly with your marketplace, that's one of the things you're trying to kind of solve. Do you feel like, you and I were talking a little pre-show, this concept of training and coaching, and it's probably as worthwhile as we keep throwing out the word coaching, that we maybe talk about the difference in people's minds of training and coaching and how those actually are different from one another.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think many times people use these words interchangeably, but so sales training has been around for hundreds of years, right? So it's like this idea of bringing a top salesperson that will teach all of your salespeople how to sell and, you know, always be closing and all of these things.
Right, right.
And that's good, right? You don't want people to just join your company and start talking without any standards or without any following the brand rules or anything like that. But on the other hand, we know that people who stop at that, at the sales training level, they leave a lot of money on the table. And the reason why they leave a lot of money on the table is there's two main reasons. One is that the more you standardize something, the less you can capture the benefits of the non-standard things, right? So if there's a script that works really well for 60% of your people, it's probably good to train everybody to use that, but what about the 40% that could use a better script?
Yep.
And then, you know, you can't have 10 or 20 or 30 scripts and you adapt each of them to each salesperson as part of a sales training. So I think that's where coaching comes into place, where it's like one person working with one sales guy and understanding how exactly, what are those best things that this salesperson can improve. And that will vary from person to person. So I think that's the field of sales coaching, or coaching in general. It's being much more personalized and understanding like where are the areas of opportunity for each person.
Yeah, interesting. And I want to dive into maybe this individualized coaching aspect a little more, but it seems like one of the knocks with training and coaching, and I know we just kind of separated them, but I'm going to lump them back together just for a minute. I mean, any type of, you know, where information is dispersed, you know, from one person to another, it seems like the big knock on it is that it decays, right? I mean, I do this rah-rah session, we get in a room and we're all feeling pumped, and then, you know, a week later I'm like, now what did I learn? How do you feel like, what do you feel like is the best way to overcome one of the biggest problems I feel like maybe with training or coaching or, you know, that concept of decay? What's the best way to overcome that?
Yeah, so that's another great point. And you can see this everywhere where people kind of, the first step, which almost everybody does, is understanding what the problem is and figuring out a plan to solve it. But then the second step is really following through that plan. You know, it's very, very common, whether it's in our personal life or professional life, where we know what the series of steps are, but right, then we kind of stop in the middle or we lose motivation or something like that. So a good coach can do two things. One is keep you accountable. So like if you know that you have a weekly meeting with your coach, you will know that you have to report some progress, right? So then it really motivates you to become better. But also the other thing is that a good coach can address problems as they come, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe when we built the plan, we didn't anticipate some problems. And then how do we deal with those issues? And that's something that's very hard to do if someone just comes in once a quarter and, you know, motivates all the people.
How frequently do you feel like good coaching should take place? I mean, and it may be, you know, it's maybe hard to say, but obviously our listenership is more sales and more marketing people. Maybe life coaching, you know, is slightly different. But any thoughts on if you are getting, how frequently you maybe should be talking so that you can get that accountability piece built in?
Yeah, I think it's very, very individual. So if someone's extremely disciplined and they can basically make a plan for like 3 months and then have a check-in once a month, that could be good enough for them. Another person that may need more like hand-holding, maybe once a week is better. I know that for me personally, if I have this weekly meeting with someone, it really helps me boost my productivity because everything I do throughout that week, I'll be thinking, oh, okay, I should report that, right? Or even if it's something like losing weight, you start a diet, you're really excited in the first couple of days, and then afterwards, slowly, you get more and more opportunities to like get off the diet. So it's really up to the person. I personally like having a meeting once a week, whether it's a long meeting of like an hour or just a short one of 20 minutes, but I like this check-in.
Yeah, that feels about right to me. You know, sometimes with, you know, you almost need a daily thing, but that's probably only when things are real serious. A week feels about right. Do you feel like, you mentioned this now a couple of times, this concept of individualization or individualizing coaching, and it seems to be maybe a word that's often missed in the coaching concept. You know, again, we maybe kind of go with the generalization, which would be, I guess, the antithesis of individual. You go with a script maybe that is just everybody use it, and that's the way you should be, or maybe there's a standard. Do you feel like, and again, maybe it's different for different segments of the market. Sales is maybe different than personal coaching, but does everything need to be individualized? And if so, what does that mean?
So that's a fascinating issue that I've been following it on many, many different fields. And I think I'm a big data nerd myself. And I think what happened is until we had a lot of data, so until we had the ability to collect lots of data and analyze it, then the standard approach works better, right? Because it's really hard to diagnose the problems of each person, especially at scale. Mm. But now with like very high-tech algorithms and computing and the Internet of Things and all of these things, suddenly we see that the individualized approach works much better. Yeah. So one example for that I found to be fascinating is weight loss. So there were tons of books written about like what's the optimal diet, and one book can tell you eat only protein, another one eat only low fat or whatever it is. And then slowly they started understanding that different things work for different people. And now, I think it was last year, they had a groundbreaking study where they basically analyzed how different people react to different foods. And they found that there's really a huge difference. So for one person, eating white rice can spike their blood sugar, but eating ice cream will not.
Okay.
And for another person, it can be exactly the opposite. So they can eat as much rice as they want and they lose weight. But if they eat only a little bit of ice cream, it completely destroys their diet.
Yeah.
Now, what's fascinating is they actually took the microbiome, which is the bacteria that are in your gut, and they sequenced the DNA.
Right.
And then they used like big data algorithms to understand the connection between your gut microbiome and what you should eat. So I think that's a fascinating example that could be, I mean, my dream is for this to happen for every coaching area. So for example, if you have sales coaching, can there be an algorithm that crunches all your calls and analyzes, okay, you're talking too much, you should listen more. Somebody else, they should say, no, you're not talking enough. You don't have enough enthusiasm. For a third person, it can be, you should challenge the customer and really challenge their assumptions. For somebody else, it could be, no, you're challenging them too much. It's off-putting. You should be more empathetic.
Yeah.
So we don't have this technology now yet, but we're getting there. And I want to be one of the first people that takes advantage of that. Trying to kind of build the technological infrastructure in place where maybe in 1 year or 2 years, when we have the algorithms that can output those things, it will be fascinating.
Yeah, that's funny. It's one of the things I feel like is certainly on the cusp of disruption is this training and coaching world, right? This idea of all just gathering in a room once a month and, pulling out a piece of paper and a pencil and writing notes is... It's effective, but it's not using the capabilities that are kind of being developed. In our labs, one of the groups I run here at Inside Sales is our labs group, and we actually had an alpha product. We try to play around with different kind of new releases, and most of them get punched down. We do some fun research that gets pushed out, but one of the fun products we were playing around with, we called Wingman, and we had a couple of data scientists who were real experts in kind of psychometric assessment and personality traits. And the basic genesis of it was, kind of to your point, we were basically using voice recognition algorithms to determine the personality of both the seller and the buyer, and then providing real-time coaching to the seller, basically based on, voice reflection and inflection kind of types of things. So it was such a cool idea, I thought, and we made a little bit of inroads. It didn't actually get adopted into the product, et cetera, but I love that idea. I was super passionate about it, and I'm hoping that someone on this takes it. And as Shimon said, let's get that out there, because I think some sort of live feedback with data would be very cool as we think about even phone calls, as you mentioned. So I love that example, as I'd played around with that very specifically.
I don't know enough. I'm not a technical guy, but my co-founder, who's like the CTO, and he's a real artificial intelligence person, he says, it's a very normal cycle where in the beginning the technology isn't good enough. Like if you think of Google Translate or Siri, in the beginning they were really, really bad. But as we gather more data, it becomes better and better. So I'm not surprised that currently we're not there yet, but I'm very optimistic.
Yeah. Well, I'm passionate about that kind of concept. It'll be fun to see what role you guys play in it as well. Do you feel, last kind of piece here before we bring this to a close, a lot of times there seems to be some added benefit when people, and I'm going back to coaching here for a minute, kind of bring in the personal with the professional, and they find a way to make, and I'm thinking just of sales reps as well, and I found it in my own life. You know, when I talk to a manager, I've talked to sales reps, and, you know, let's talk about your number here, about what you need to hit this quarter, but let's talk about why you want to hit that number. And it might be to pay off the boat or go on a vacation or pay off some student loans, or and tying those two together and bringing those types of things up in my one-on-ones with my team has seemed to just kind of put exponential strength behind it, because there's a business reason and a personal reason. How do you recommend to bring those two together? What would be your thoughts on bringing the personal and professional together when it comes to coaching?
Yeah, so that's a point that really surprised me when I first started the business. You know, I would expect people to just come for one thing, and it's like either personal or professional. But what we're seeing more and more is that people who are struggling with personal issues, it really affects their professional success. And obviously vice versa. I think that the reverse link is very well understood, that if you're like really, really good at your job, your personal life, you know, you just get self-confidence that helps you with your personal goals. But I think we still need to understand the relationship between those two things. But I think it's a no-brainer that, you know, if you can improve one of them, the other one improves. Yeah. So if you're feeling a little bit down, working on that area that makes you feel down will definitely help you perform better as a sales leader. Mm-hmm. And also the opposite is the case, right? If you are in a slump professionally and you work on that, it will definitely help your personal life.
Interesting. So there you some power, some synergy bringing those together. Do you feel like, you know, as we kind of close this, again, you and I were talking a little bit about interesting thought process and talk track around coaching and training. Anything to kind of sum it up as we kind of bring the show to a close?
Yeah, I think one area of opportunity for pretty much everybody is understanding the challenges that one has and diving deep into them. So basically all our life we've been trained, whether it's specifically trained or just through feedback, of like, the areas that we're good at, that where we shine, we get tons of positive feedback and we improve there more and more. And the areas where we're challenged a little bit, you know, we see that that's not our strong suit. So maybe we kind of choose a profession that doesn't need that a lot, or like hire someone to help us with that. But, and that has actually been even the management advice. You know, when you go to an MBA, they tell you, you know, as a leader, you should just focus on your strengths and hire to cover for your weaknesses. Now, what I've seen is that actually there's a lot of opportunity in deeply understanding the weaknesses, because it's probably something deep. It's probably something that was overlooked until now. And I've seen once people uncover that, it really unlocks huge potential. Potential. I'm talking about career changes. I'm talking about promotions, starting your own business. You know, maybe you just, you're really, really good at what you do, but you're afraid to start your own business because your parents failed at their small business and you know, you're leaving a lot of money and success on the table.
Right.
So I would really recommend people, whether it's by yourself through reflection or by working with someone, just go into these areas that are uncomfortable, because there's a lot of good stuff there that can be unlocked.
Yeah, interesting, right? Big strengths-based movement. I actually worked for Gallup, you know, the company who produced the book, you know, First Now Discover Your Strengths and StrengthsFinder.
Yeah.
And I love the idea, but you're right. You can't ignore the weaknesses, right? I mean, you've got to do something with them. And whether you dive in, whether you find a way to manage them, they're there. So it's usually best not to just try to throw them in a closet and act like it. And sometimes, I think you're right, sometimes you go maybe too far, and there's probably somewhat of a balance you want to find there. Well, Shimo, thanks so much for joining. Interesting talk track. Certainly, you guys have some really neat stuff I think you're developing and playing with over there at Live Coach. So best of luck as you continue to grow and kind of change up the coaching marketplace as we know it. If someone wants to get a hold of you or learn a little bit more about Live Coach, any thoughts or recommendations?
They can just go to livecoach.io or Google Live Coach. And we have a blog there that is exploring the cutting edge research. We have lots of good stuff. So I think that's the best way. And if you want to get in touch with me, just you can use the contact button on the website.
Fantastic. All right. So appreciate again joining. And for the audience, remember, success is just one play away.